Master Sam Efren, Doctor of the Church, the piece to take him from St. Paul to Timothy. Dearly beloved, I charge you in the sight of God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead by his coming and by his kingdom. Preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, entreat, rebuke with all patience and teaching. For there will become a time when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap up to themselves teachers according to their own lusts, and they will turn away their hearing from the truth and turn aside rather to fables. But be watchful in all things, bear with tribulation patiently, work as a preacher of the gospel, fulfill your ministry. As for me, I am ready being poured out in sacrifice, and the time of my deliverance is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. For the rest, there is laid up for me a crown of justice, which the Lord, the just judge, will give to me in that day, yet not to me only, but also to those who love his coming. We stand up to hear the most holy gospel is taken from St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its strength, what shall it be salted with? It is no longer of any use but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the measure, but upon the lampstand, so as to give light to all in the house. Even so, let your light shine before men, in order that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not to come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, no one yod or one title shall be lost from the law until all things have been accomplished. Therefore, whosoever does away with one of these least commandments and so teaches men shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever carries them out and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." The words of the most holy gospel, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please take a seat. Okay, dear friends, I will speak a topic, very important topic, which I was teaching to our people in Spanish, in the Latin countries. It's a topic which has not been preached about this topic, and it's tremendously important, which is the state of necessity of the church. So we speak that our church is February, and we are working in a state of necessity because the souls is the highest law. But we have not been entered into detail what is the canon in canon law, what is the law which permits us to do that, and what are the boundaries, what are the conditions to do that. It's very important. Until now, I have not heard a sermon about this topic. It's very enlightening, this topic. So the canon is 2205. Yes, in the true Catholic, last Catholic code of canon law, 1917. So the code, the law says that any Catholic in the world is not obliged to follow ecclesiastical law when they have a great fear, a great need, a great inconvenience, but under three conditions: that the work they want not to do, the reason why they want to do it is not an intrinsic evil act, first condition, to implore a state of necessity. Second, that is not the value, that is not the possession, that is not diminishing the faith. the value of the faith. And third on the condition, and it's not the value authority. So I will explain this. This is very important. So first, the first reason why we could not be obliged on some point to follow ecclesiastical law, first is for great fear. Okay. For example, imagine that you have to go to mass, but there is a lion or it's a wild robber outside your house. You have great fear of being injured. That great fear will give you the exemption, you know, and instead of necessity not to go to mass that day, for example. No? So in a great fear, you are not obliged to ecclesiastical law. So remember, ecclesiastical law is what has to do with permissions, chastisements, the five commandments of the church, and so on. No? The precepts of the church. Also, the rules, the holy rule of St. Benedict, for example, is one of the ecclesiastical laws that the church has. So, second point, when you have a great need, you are not obliged to follow ecclesiastical law. This is the point we apply here in the apostasy of the church. Because the hierarchy has gone off track, because they are preaching another religion, because they modify everything in a holy religion in such a way as to please men and other religions. Therefore, we are obliged. Not only we can disobey ecclesiastical law from the right authority, from the lawful authority, but we have obligation to disobey them, because otherwise we will be destroying the church, because the direction they are taking is to destroy God and His church and the glory of God and the divine providence and the divine elements of the church and the faith especially. So it's what this second point is, when we say that the salvation of souls, our holy faith, and the morals and our families has to be protected against the influence of modernist Rome. So we are not blind to ecclesiastical laws. Means we don't need permission from them. We don't have to give an account of what we are doing to them. Yes. We don't give our matrimonial records, for example, to the diocese, because that will be placed in the hands of the wolves to dissolve, to divorce, to annul our matrimonies. We have our own sacramental records. Yet we don't give away to the enemies of God the information that we have about our families, sacramental records. No, it's what they are doing. The SSPX actually today. So we have to protect by necessity for our salvation, our families, the church, our faith, our morals, our families, many things. So this is why we invoke necessity. And the third element why we could not be obliged eventually to follow our ecclesiastical law is for a great inconvenience. Grave incomodo in Latin. Yes, for example, I don't have money. If I go to mass, I will be starving to death, myself and my children. So it's a great inconvenience. So we are not obliged to go to mass. If that is the case, for example. No? Someone is sick, very sick. That person is not obliged to follow the laws of fasting or abstinence. See? There are examples, just to tell you. But the important issue here is the three conditions has to be fulfilled. And nobody has been spoken about this. Remember, for us to invoke the state of necessity means that we have the permission from the church to give you mass confessions, Holy Communion, to attend your family, to give you spiritual direction on behalf of the church, to open a missions at monasteries. So all the ministry that we are doing is justified by the state of necessity. But we have to fulfill three conditions. Otherwise, we cannot claim state of necessity and we cannot give sacraments. It's quite very, very important, these three conditions, to be understood. Otherwise, we don't have permission and we cannot give sacraments. Or we cannot go to sacraments to these people who doesn't have neither jurisdiction, ordinary jurisdiction, neither extraordinary supply jurisdiction. So what are the three conditions? First, that the action which is causing me fear, great inconvenience or necessity, is not an intrinsic evil act. For example, the so-called vaccine was an intrinsic evil act. Why? Because it's involved with abortion, and it's involved with nanotechnology, which is like mutilation of the body, allowing technology to manipulate your body beyond the limits of God. About your health, because it's divine providence, is what we are supposed to be trusting in the things which go beyond our capacity to heal our sicknesses. So the so-called vaccine, for example, that was an intrinsic evil act, especially because abortion involved in those vaccines. Therefore, you cannot claim no one of the three reasons to skip you cannot obey, yes, and you cannot claim that you have a great fear, a great necessity because of your job or your house, your life, or you have a great inconvenience because otherwise you will be thrown out of society in order to take the vaccine. See? So there's no reason why you could take the vaccine, for example, the injection, because it's an intrinsic evil act. Basically, these three conditions are divine conditions. This is why you cannot have a human reasoning to skip your obligations towards God, just because the divine is above the human. Okay? So, what is about the faith? What is intrinsically evil? What's about the faith? And what is about authority? These three elements are divine. Authority, divine law, the Ten Commandments and the faith are divine realities. This is why you cannot claim necessity or to skip these obligations towards God. We must prefer to die, for example, before saying a lie. Because to lie is an intrinsic evil act. We are forbidden to lie always. Doesn't matter the circumstances or the reasoning. Doesn't matter the fear or so much great fear that you have. The great inconvenience that you have for that lie that you are going to avoid, and the necessity you have to for your life, for your family, you cannot lie. You see? So cannot be intrinsically evil, your action, in order to claim instead of necessity. But the second element I wanted to focus, the second element, this is the condition to be in instead of necessity, to administer sacraments. So you cannot diminish the faith. So you cannot compromise the faith. You cannot lower down the faith in order to act because you have a great fear, a great inconvenience, or a great necessity. So that means that, for example, the SSPX or the Faith Resistance or the St. Peter's Fraternity or the Christ the King Institute, they have been systematically diminishing the faith in order to keep working the way they work. So they have devalued, diminishing, compromising the faith in order to keep doing what they are doing. So they are placing their benefits, their way of working, their interest above the faith. It is why we have placed red light to these groups. Because they systematically, habitually, they are compromising the faith in order to get the benefits of the sacraments, for example. So that means that anyone with the value, faith, cannot claim to be in a state of necessity. Means they cannot give sacraments, means we cannot get sacraments from them, neither. You see the problem? It is wisdom of the church. It is not a canon law. It is not just a traditional lefebvre or our opinion. It's canon law. So canon law is applying the principles of our Catholic faith to our particular actions and our daily life. So anyone devaluing or diminishing the faith, compromising the faith, cannot claim a state of necessity, cannot claim that they have supply jurisdiction. So basically, they cannot give sacraments, and we cannot receive sacraments from them. And in that situation are found all the faith resistance. We know why. Because they are preaching by silence, commission, or omission that Novus Ordo gives faith, and the Novus Ordo has something good. There is something Catholic. So basically, we can diminish our faith and to take the Novus Ordo sometimes. Yes. SSPX, we know, SSPX is working habitually with Rome, with the new doctrine. From the sacraments of the Novus Ordo, they are accepted, and the many concepts of the Novus Ordo are accepted by the SSPX on a regular basis. So working with another faith in order to get benefits, in order to give more sacraments, to have more seminaries and the priories open. Believe me, this is very serious what I'm telling you. Until now, I have not heard about this topic. So they cannot give sacraments, we cannot get sacraments from them, because the reason for the canon law. And even if we get sacraments from them, there will not be grace, because it's illegal, it's illicit, because the canon law. That's the reason why, for example, we cannot receive sacraments from the Orthodox Russians, because faith. So the Orthodox Russians, according to the Church, they have valid sacraments, means our Lord is there present. Body, soul, blood, and divinity is there. But we are forbidden to go with the Orthodox Russians, for example, because they are schismatics. Even if they have valid sacraments, it's illicit, it's illegal, it's against the will of God. So if by chance someone will go to receive the Blessed Sacrament from the Orthodox, outside the danger of death, they will not receive grace from that communion. Even if by ignorance they will go, they will not receive grace. Because the legal or the licit element is more important even than the valid element. Because we cannot steal sacraments from God, from the church, outside the will of God. Just because I feel I need, diminishing the faith, compromising the faith in order to get sacraments, especially what is forbidden by canon law. You cannot claim a state of necessity if you are just work for sacraments, for example. No, you cannot. And the true element is also very important. You cannot devalue or to diminish authority in order to get sacraments and claim a state of necessity. It's the case of the celibacantists. So the celibacantists, basically, they place themselves in God's place. In the Pope's place, they declare by their theology that there is no Pope, and they start giving sacraments, making priests and ordaining priests and bishops, especially what canon law forbids. And you cannot have supply jurisdiction if you have that mentality. You devalue authority, take away authority in order for a great necessity to give sacraments. This is forbidden by canon 2205. So all that we have been teaching to you in the resistance is confirmed by this canon, 2205. And this is very great, the great wisdom of the church, because the wisdom of the church is that the entrance to grace, to the church, to the sacraments, to the life of God is faith. If we are not faithful to the faith, we don't have access. It's why our Lord said, he who doesn't go through the door or the sheepfold and go through the world or through a different ways, forbidden by the church, is a robber, is a mercenary, and it's unlawful, and the chief doesn't hear their voice. They don't go to them for sacraments. Only those who go through faith, infidelity to the faith, represent our Lord. Therefore, they have supply jurisdiction in state of necessity. Very clear. It's very clear. Canon law, the wisdom of the Holy Ghost supporting what we have been doing with Attribution Lefebvre for already 60 years. No? We don't play with God. We don't play. You know, it's very clear now. Even these people who claim that because sacraments they had to go to those people, to these groups, they will not receive grace, and God is going to demand from them fruits from the masses they assisted, and they might receive more punishment than reward because they didn't bear the fruits that we are supposed to be bearing by assisting a holy sacrifice of the mass. But receiving communion, we are supposed to bearing fruits. If we don't bear the fruit that God expects from us, we receive punishment. Far from receiving more graces, we receive more punishment. This is why it never will be an issue to receive sacraments as the reason why we have to go to a mass or to a priest. No, never. Never. The entrance is faith, fidelity to the faith. This is the very first question in baptism. What do you ask from the Church of Christ? The very first question, faith. And that was taken away in the noble sordo baptism. The ceremony of baptism, that was taken away. They don't ask faith anymore as a requisite. The first and the last question, and the second question is, what does faith grant unto you? And the answer is, life everlasting. Through faith we enter into the life of God, the life of the sacraments, hope, the promise of God, charity, the love of God, and heaven, the promises of God, the inheritance as children of God. This is very clear, crystal clear. So this is why it's very dangerous to go to these groups, because their mentality is contagious. Not to love God above all things, so to love something, a benefit about the fidelity to God, this is a mortal sin, in fact. It's a mortal sin. It's quite forbidden by the Church to do that. It's a mortal sin to be unfaithful to God in order to get something from God. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. So let's keep strong in these issues, because just to finish, our people in England, you know, they have an interview, 3 hours interview with Bishop Ballini, for example. No? And this is the 3 hours, Bishop Ballini basically said that he's not speaking out against Bishop Williams on errors in order to keep the sacraments given, in order to keep the sacraments being received by the faithful and by the Bishop Williams' people. This is the main reason that he plays. It's precisely what we are not supposed to be doing. Unfaithfulness to faith in order to give sacraments, this is unheard of from the martyrs. It's completely against the spirit of the Church. In fact, they deprive themselves from the state of necessity and from the possibility of giving sacraments, precisely because that infidelity prevents them of giving sacraments and also prevents us of receiving sacraments from them. So easy, so clear, no? So we have the grace to understand these things and to be faithful to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.